Hey, I know. I'll use my trusty frying pan as a drying pan.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to this week's episode of Out of the Drying Pan, a Pokemon the Series podcast, where each week we discuss two episodes of the Pokemon series anime and whatever other random stuff happens to pop into our heads. Just a quick reminder, we are an E for explicit podcast, so listener discretion is advised. I'm your host, Alex, and I'm joined this week by my co-host, Austin. Hey, Austin.
Hey, Alex.
Hey, what's going on?
Hey, what's going on? Well, I'll tell you what, for non-blonde, you're right. What is going on?
What is going on? That's a very apt question.
Nothing good. Nothing good is going on.
We had a pretty lengthy discussion prior to jumping into this recording.
Yeah, we recorded a special segment about the U.S. election and the result and our thoughts and feelings about it. And we're going to include that at the end of this episode after the credits.
Yes, we thought that we had a lot to say at risk of bringing down the entire mood of the podcast, which we didn't want to do. We want to make it an optional segment at the end. So if you're interested to hear what we talked about, you can listen to after the credits roll and join us there if you would like to hear us rant and rave.
And it kind of sounds like we're being vague, but rest assured, our opinion is fuck MAGA. Just putting that out there.
Yeah, we're not trying to be vague. Again, I think we've said it enough on this podcast. You know where we lean. Obviously, this past week was a tough one for us, as I'm sure it was tough for many of you guys out there. And all that to say, we are still here. We are still queer. Still queer. That's right. We have no plans to end this. We have a good thing going. We want to be here for you guys and a bright spot to your day, we hope.
I still think we need to at least make sure this podcast goes through the end of Diamond and Pearl. Because that's our favorite anime series.
Diamond and Pearl is the best, and I hope you guys join us for that journey because it is so worth it.
Will there be United States of America at that point? We'll find out.
Stay tuned. A lot to say on that. We won't get into the details here. I think we have other things we can talk about. Just know that we probably sound more down in the doldrums than we normally would be.
I think there's strength in living life normal in abnormal times.
That is such a good point. We can't let this break us down. We have to continue to be strong and move forward.
Oh boy, I need to work out if I'm going to be strong. Mentally and physically. All right, we said we're not going to put on this too much in the podcast properly. Yeah. Okay.
One positive thing to say, take care of yourselves. Take care of yourselves, eat right, drink water, get out there, feel the sunshine, feel the breeze on your face.
And I think it's important, especially now, take care of your loved ones.
Yes, be there for your family, be there for your friends. Open that line of dialogue with people. You know, if you're one of those who is struggling right now, you know, reach out to people who are going to lift you up and, you know, be a safe space for you. And if you don't have that, you always have us here on Out of the Drying Pan. We are always open and willing to talk. We have our social media email. If you want to reach out to us, we're always there to be a shoulder to lean on or an ear to listen. So just know that you're not alone.
Ooh, one thing I forgot to say. I'm going to say, don't be afraid to cut people out of your life if you're able to.
That is also a good point.
Some people need to not be around.
Don't let people tread on your happiness and bring you down. Like if you have people in your life that aren't adding to your life in an enriching and meaningful way, like Austin said, it's okay to not speak to those people or to at least keep your distance in a healthy way from those people. That's our mini soapbox. If you want to listen to our more in detailed thoughts on we were shooting the shit earlier on, join us after the podcast, get our thoughts there. But for now, we are going to talk about some other stuff. What did we do this week aside from the obvious?
Okay, I'm going to be cheery.
Go for it.
Because another major historical event that has happened recently, just kidding, is the release of Pokemon Trading Card Game Pocket.
Oh, that finally did come out, didn't it?
Taking social media by storm.
I've heard literally nothing about it.
Well, so I'm enjoying it while it's having its 15 minutes. It's frustrating as all hell because it's a gacha game, of course. Mm-hmm. But damn if it isn't fun.
I feel like this is Pokemon Sleep all over again.
Oh yeah, I had to stop playing Pokemon Sleep because I bought the extra accessory to go along with it, and it stopped working on me for no apparent reason, so that pissed me off. So no more sleep for me. which is appropriate given I haven't slept in a week, but...
Well, I would be concerned it would, like, set my pillow on fire. That's how I was always, like, nervous about...
Oh, fair enough. We're going to do something different on Out of the Drying Pan we've never done before.
I love surprises.
We're going to do a live TCG pack opening.
Right now?
It's audio only, so you're going to have to listen to my description.
Oh my god, it's right now. It's happening, you guys. Austin did not tell me ahead of time, so here we go.
I'm going to pick the Pikachu pack.
Okay, wait. Can we just give a quick... What is the Pokemon TCG? Like, what is this?
What is the Pokemon TCG?
Pocket app.
All it is digital cards where you open little booster packs, and it gives you digital cards to add to your digital collection.
Oh, digital.
All digital. Nothing of any merit. They have not implemented trading yet. I'm looking forward to when they do that. And there is a battle function, and it's basically like TCG Mini. Now, I'm not a TCG player, but I know enough to know the basic rules. And they only have 20 card decks as opposed to the 60 card, and it's kind of intense. Because it really all depends on your first couple turns, I've noticed. And there's like a whole meta to it already. I think Mewtwo EX Gardevoir players can fuck off.
I don't know what words you're saying to me.
Mewtwo and Gardevoir?
Gardevoir EX?
Mewtwo EX.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Alex, you don't know what a Pokemon EX card is?
No, I don't.
Oh, wow. You're so out of the loop when it comes to this.
I'm sorry,
those have been around since Generation 3.
I'm sorry, you guys. I literally have no flesh in the game when it comes to the TCG. Like, I literally know nothing. I collected the cards... And I wouldn't even say collected. I just happened... They fell into my lap in the 90s when I was a kid. I haven't bought a TCG pack as an adult, like, ever.
Yeah, for anyone who is not involved in the Pokemon franchise in the 90s, which I imagine is 0% of our listenership, but I could be wrong, at least here, a big part of the Pokemon franchise was the cards. Did any kids know how to actually play those cards the way they were intended to be played? No. If they did, I didn't know any. But no. Damn, it was kids loved getting those cards. And that's basically how I think our generation learned who the Pokemon were.
Yes, I agree with that.
For the most part.
And the Pokemon handbook, official handbook.
The Scholastic.
Yes, I fucking love it. Oh my god, love it so much.
That was always at the book fair.
That thing, it was very lovingly taken with me everywhere. It was in my backpack all the time. Now I kind of sort of regret it, but not really, because... It was supposed to have utility, right? So it's like, as an adult, I wish I would have kept it, like, more pristine. But as a kid, it's like, I just wanted to take it with me.
Do you still have it?
I, of course, still have it.
I kind of want to buy you a reprinting of it.
Oh, but nothing's going to recapture the magic. Oh,
okay.
Although I am interested.
They have, like, updates through, like, the modern day. But, like, that's not as fun. Because we're not 6 years old anymore.
We should... Okay, I had a thought, which this may or may not be, like, super boring. If we got the latest reprint, the most up-to-date copy... And compared it to my original one and see how it's changed. I think that might be fun. I don't know.
No, I think the original one is still in circulation.
No way.
I think so. I go to the store and I just happen to see in the aisles. I see, like, just yesterday at Walmart, I saw the How to Draw Pokemon that had Pikachu and Pichu on the front cover that I had when I was probably 9 years old.
But surely things must have been updated, like the information within it. I mean...
I could be wrong. Let me find out if I can find it on Amazon.
This is why I think it's worth investigating, because I want to see how, like, the 1990 whatever version compares to 2024.
Look what I found, Alex. Available for now for $7.64 on Amazon. The Pokemon Classic Collector Handbook.
Oh, your screen is, like, illuminatingly, glaringly bright. I can't even see that.
Okay, well... I'm going to send you a picture on phone, so look at your text message.
Okay, I'm going to look.
Did it come through yet?
No, what the heck is happening? Oh, here we go. I got the ding. Oh, look at that. Oh, I'm so nostalgic. Oh, that green cover.
The green specific. The green. That specific green.
What kind of green would you even describe that as?
Not the most appealing green.
Okay, mine was like holographic, though. It had like a shiny element to it.
Did you have the one that had Togepi and Mew?
I believe so, yes.
I think I had that one too. But I think the first one, it was just Pikachu.
This one isn't as dynamic. I don't know. I'm going to hold fast to my belief that I think we should compare, but...
That'll be a bonus episode. How about that?
That will be a bonus episode.
All right, so let's get back. Okay, TCG. I never was a TCG player because I'm antisocial. I did go through a long phase during the Gen 3, Gen 4 days of buying booster packs from the comic store every week when I would go to get comics on Wednesday. Specifically, my parents financially supported that, which good on them. So I was basically just collecting at the time as a kid. But then when I got a little older and I had to be spending my own money, that stopped.
And then the reality set in.
I did not have a full-time job and was not a working adult. Now I am, but that money is being used on bills and etc.
But see, that's the thing. And, you know, obviously as an adult, you have responsibility and you never want to get so far down deep into a hobby that you're forsaking your responsibilities.
Right. But now with TCG Pocket, which is specifically designed around collecting digital cards, I can get that endorphin rush of opening a pack and getting a special card without spending any money.
I love how you went spokesperson for a second. You're like, now with TCG Pocket.
Nintendo/Pokemon Company, pay us. We will shill your products till kingdom come. I don't give a shit.
We're doing that now when we're not getting paid. We've been doing that for the past 3 years and we haven't been getting paid.
You know what? The thing is, we give our honest opinions and we are not always nice toward the inferior products that the Pokemon Company and their associated companies provide us. So we could never be a corporate shill for them because we believe in true reviews.
You know what? I feel like in any other aspect of our lives, that would be absolutely true. But Pokemon is one of those things, we might shit on it, but we'll still buy it.
Well, yeah. That's because we have an unhealthy relationship. We're like those grass Pokemon and that cheerleader woman.
Abused and keep crawling back for more.
By the way, I listened back to that and I was laughing the entire episode about that as I was being like, yeah, it's the cycle of abuse. Like, sorry, y'all. I was nervous.
I hope we added a trigger warning to that episode.
We did not.
We should do that.
I was too distracted with other things, such as the election.
Yes, but we could still potentially go back and amend the description for that episode, or we can just add it to the description, either way. I will say, in mostly every other circumstance, I know I sound like a freaking hypocritical fool, but it's like, vote with your wallet is the prevailing theme. You know, it's like, okay, if you don't like something, obviously don't purchase it, and that's the only way companies are going to learn a lesson. It does not apply in when it comes to Pokemon. Like, we might drag some decisions that Pokemon makes or give it shit or whatever, but rest assured, at the end of the day, we will buy it regardless.
Yep.
So
the other thing is we curse a lot and we make adult jokes, which you can't do if you're going to be monetized on YouTube or whatever. You can't even say kill anymore. You have to say
unalived.
Yeah, fuck that. Fuck TikTok. Fuck all that shit. We can be real here and out of the drying pan. How about that?
At the risk of not going into like social, I don't want to talk about social media and how brain rot our whole society is as a result. So let's move on. Let's talk about your TCG. You were going to open the pack.
Right. Let's open the Pikachu pack that I've had open on my phone for the last 5 minutes.
This is like one of those like live unboxing things. This is exciting.
All right. And I'm going to send you a picture after the fact so you can see all the cards.
It's not live for you guys listening, but it's live for me now. So hopefully you can feel my excitement.
Okay. Let's open the pack.
What if you get like a super ultra mega rare?
There is a possibility of that, but not this one. Because the first card is Petlil.
Petlil?
Petlil is my most hated Pokemon.
I was about to say, we fucking hate Petlil.
I have a whole rant about Petlil that I'm going to save for Black and White.
You're going to forget.
Slowpoke.
Oh, we love Slowpoke. Okay.
Raticate.
Interesting.
Chinchino. And a Rapidash. I have all of these cards already. A disappointment.
So, was that like your one freebie or something? Like, what was the.
You get one freebie every 12 hours.
Oh, so this is a 12-hour timer thing.
Right. And if you don't open both of them during those 24 hours, it stops the timer.
So you open both.
Yeah, you have to make sure you're opening them or else the timer will stop.
Well, that's silly.
So I sent you a picture of my cards.
Oh, I'm so sad we didn't get like Snorlax or Cubone or something. Is this the original like artwork?
That's the original artwork of Slowpoke. I know that for a fact. I think it's from the fossil set from back in the day. I think some of them are new art and some of them are old art.
Why does that Raticate look familiar? I feel like I do recognize the Raticate and the Slowpoke for sure.
Okay, I don't recognize the Raticate from outside of this, but I believe you.
I feel like I've seen it before, but I don't know.
Do you remember the original couple sets? They had an artist who did like a watercolor style.
Oh, that was so pretty.
I always thought a big appeal to TCG was you got to see the Pokemon in a different art style, in a different environment than you normally would.
Yeah.
The anime is always very minimalist by necessity of its extremely low budget and its art style. And obviously the games, you have either the 2D sprites, which ended up being very elaborate by the end of that, or the not very enticing 3D models.
So much personality was lost during the transition.
Yeah. So that's a big appeal to TCG is the artwork.
That's cool. I was going to say one final thought on that. I don't know if you've ever kind of seen people who do the art, like when they take the cards and like add the environment to it, like customs.
I love that.
Or commissions or whatever. I love that. I love when people do that. It's so pretty.
Which the Card Game Official has caught on to that. They do that now, the full art cards.
Really?
Yeah, that trend got noticed.
I mean, that's all well and good and fun, I guess, but there's nothing that, like, tops somebody who takes, like, a little, you know, paintbrush and, like, actually hand draws the stuff. Like,
love that.
Anyway, good luck in your TCG collecting, Austin. We hope you pull some really rare cards. Please try not to spend money, or if you do, a very minimal amount of money.
Of course not. No money.
No money. None. No money. Okay, good. No. I feel like once you rip that Band-Aid off and start spending money on stuff like that, you're stuck. Don't even start.
All right, how's your week been for week talk?
Well,
we know how your week's been, but other than that.
Okay, so all that aside, obviously we had some pretty devastating news earlier this week with the election. However, aside from that, what has been going on? I watched a 3-hour Western movie last night. That movie, Kevin Costner's movie, Horizon. I can't believe I sat through 3 hours of movie. It was insane. And it wasn't even, like, exciting or thrilling, so.
What percentage of the movie were you on your phone?
Actually, a very small amount. I was pretty engaged with it. I was trying not to watch my phone or play on my phone because Josh was with me and I didn't want to be rude. It was my idea to watch it, so I didn't want to be like, oh, let's watch this and then, like, I'll be on my phone all the time. Aside from that, what else? I've been playing Veilguard.
You have?
Off and on, yes.
It sounds like you barely played it.
I have barely played it for a couple reasons. One, I've been busy at work. Two, Josh has been over a few times, and he actually got him into Dragon Age, and he's really enjoying it. He's become a fan of it. He finished Origins, the first game, recently, and he's currently almost about 2/3 of the way through.
Of number two?
Of number two, yes. He's really enjoying it and really enjoying, like, the lore and whatnot, and so he's pretty adamant that I not spoil anything because I did want to play it when he was here, but he's like, respectfully, can we not, because I don't want to be spoiled on anything. I'm just glad to share that with Josh. I'm glad that he really enjoys it because I haven't really had anybody to ever talk about it with, so I'm glad that he's going through it and playing it because we can eventually get to the same part and talk about everything. But yeah, so I've been unfortunately not having a whole lot of time to dedicate to that this week with everything going on. And I'm suffering from first playthrough anxiety and, like, I'm like, okay, should I do this in this order? Should I do, what am I doing? Is this, I'm not looking at any guides or anything like that. So I'm going back a lot and being like, okay, what if I do it this way and this way? Like, so I'm not making progress, really.
That sounds stressful.
It is stressful. And I was kind of wondering, because I was like, I don't remember suffering from this when I played Inquisition, but that was also 10 years ago.
Now, hold on. Inquisition is number 3?
Yes.
Okay, I'm learning.
You got Origins 2, Inquisition, and Veilguard. Well, I say Veilguard because I refuse to use the, because I think it's stupid. Anyway, I'm enjoying it. I will say, Austin ends up being right once again.
Ooh, what about what? What
in I do that, now? Remember prior to it coming out when you were like, and what if you're disappointed? And what if this? And what if that?
Uh-oh.
I will say, there have been some things that I am disappointed in.
Oh, no.
Oh, no. I thought I would be a total shill, right? I thought I would just, like, sing its praises and absolutely have no room for any, like, healthy criticism or whatever. But I will say, there are aspects of this game that I'm kind of surprised they went in some directions. I'm a little disappointed that they went in others. There's a few things which I can't really talk about without spoiling it, so I won't really go into it. I know that sounds incredibly frustratingly vague, and I'm sorry for that. It just isn't what we thought it was going to be, which I think would, the best way to describe it is, like, okay, a direct continuation of Inquisition. And I recently got the art book. I purchased the art book.
Does that have spoilers for the game in the art book?
Somewhat, yes.
Okay, just curious.
I haven't read it myself. I haven't thumbed through it myself, actually, because I was afraid of spoilers. But I have heard some people talk about it. And the most spoilery thing I'm going to say, which isn't really a spoiler, is they have storyboard concepts and character design concepts and other gameplay sort of concepts in the art book that I think disappointed a lot of people, because you look at that and you're like, oh my fucking God, why did they not do that? Because that would have been perfect. Basically, Dragon Age was rebooted several times, like throughout the course of the development, which was 10 years from Inquisition to now. It was rebooted several times. At one point, it was actually conceptualized as a live service game. When Anthem, BioWare's previous game, flopped and Mass Effect Andromeda didn't do so well, I think EA sort of reevaluated and they allowed BioWare to sort of drop the live service element to it, which would have been absolutely heinous and awful. And I'm glad they didn't do it that way. But you can definitely see the bones of that iteration of the game in Veilguard, and I think it suffers for it in some ways. Now, I will just say, I am having fun. I think my absolute favorite aspect of the game so far is the environments. I think it's an absolutely beautiful game. But I honestly could never have envisioned or pictured a world that I would say that was my favorite thing about a Dragon Age game. Because Dragon Age is known for its writing and characters above everything else, and the lore. So it's slightly disappointing in that regard. I will continue to play it, and I'm sure I will love it, but it's hard not to feel that sting of disappointment after waiting for so long and things just didn't go quite as how you thought it was going to go. And that's all I'm going to say. We can move on from it now. Episodes we have this week are Beauty is Skin Deep and Fangs for Nothing.
I didn't get the first one.
Fangs, get it? Because I'm a vampire.
Okay. Throwback. But I didn't get the first one.
The phrase is beauty isn't skin deep.
Yeah.
You know, you can be beautiful on the inside and beauty isn't all that matters. But apparently in this particular case, fuck that, I suppose. You have nothing if not beauty.
Was it just Dratini is a beautiful Pokemon?
Well, I thought it was because it was, like, shedding its skin or something, but then I was like...
That didn't happen.
Well, not in the sense of, like, it actually shed its skin, but something else did happen.
It doesn't have the shed skin ability yet, because abilities don't exist quite yet.
That's such a wild thing to me, that abilities at Once Upon a Time did not exist as a game mechanic, but here we are. I feel like this isn't a good message. To have a title of a show for impressionable young kids, beauty is skin deep. And there's nothing more to life than that. Because if you're ugly, then fuck you, I guess. I don't know.
As an ugly person, it's true.
We did not talk about the fugglers.
No, we did not talk about the fugglers. What's there to say?
If you don't know what a fuggler is, Austin sent me this scary photo of like a toy or something that he found in Walmart. And it's like a creepy little gremlin monster with like real looking teeth, like human teeth. And it's like really disgusting. And I guess that's why they call it the fuggler. I don't know.
They had a whole line of them. There was Ninja Turtles.
Ninja Turtle Fugglers?
Yeah.
What is the scary Ninja Turtle movie with the teeth? When they had the teeth?
Is that the Michael Bay one? Or are you talking about the older ones?
Which is the one in which the turtles had scary looking teeth and faces?
Do you mean when they're costumes or when they're CGI?
Which one was the worst one? The scary one?
I haven't seen all of them.
Michael Bay.
I'm not a Ninja Turtle guy.
Maybe it was the costumes?
They definitely had teeth on the costumes.
Also, they have... Oh, God, it was the Michael Bay one. This is what I'm thinking of. Oh, my God, they're horrible looking. Gross. Gross. All right. Moving on.
So, before we flip a coin, I made a special purchase at that Walmart.
You did?
Inspired by Pokemon TCG Pocket, I bought Pokemon cards.
Oh, there's a coin.
Because I wanted to have a special out-of-the-drying-pan coin.
Oh, that is so precious, Austin.
Isn't it?
So is our official mascot a Dragonite then?
Yes. All the coins they had to pick from. I think they had the Paldea starters and they had like, what was the little piggy one?
Piggy one? Lechonk, yes.
Yeah, and I didn't want Lechonk, so I got the Dragonite.
So they had Lechonk and Dragonite.
Yeah. And you want to hear some bullshit?
Always.
This one was like $5.99 for this set of one booster pack, two promo cards, and a big old Dragonite coin.
Mm-hmm.
To get the one that had three promo cards and a booster set and a coin was $6.99.
So
an additional dollar.
Anything to make a buck.
Literally a buck.
Literally.
So I got the one that had Baridon and Iron Treads, which is the future Donphan robot.
You bought Pokemon Violet.
Yes, I had to honor that.
This is very on brand. I, on the other hand, bought Scarlet and then never played it because I was not a fan.
It was not good.
It was not
Although good. The post-game and the DLC were good.
I heard that. It's just
the main game was not good.
But the fact that you have to trudge through that to get to supposedly good DLC is just a turnoff, so.
No, I agree.
Sorry to any Pokemon Scarlet and Violet fans out there. It just was not for me. We'll see how they do with ZA.
All right. So let's flip this Dragonite coin.
So what's on the back? It's, okay, Dragonite's face on the front.
The back of every Pokemon coin is just the Pokemon logo and a Pokeball, but it's like all black.
I can't even see that. It just looks like a big black sphere.
It says copyright Pokemon on it.
Okay, well, I guess I'll, in the keeping the same tradition, I'll be the black, deep, dark abyss side. Okay.
I'll say that the coins now are big. They used to be like half the size of the ones they have now.
That's the least they can do.
It's too big. To look at it on my hand.
It's as big as your fucking hand.
And it's big as my fist. Hold on.
Oh.
It fell off the table. Heads.
So that means.
What does that mean?
You do the 30 seconds?
Or... I do the 30 seconds, which is perfect since my computer's making a lot of noise.
Okay. I don't know. Well, whatever. It doesn't really matter which one we do, which this is fine. Go ahead. 30 seconds. Oh, I should get a timer, shouldn't I?
Yeah, probably.
I can't be trusted, obviously, because last time I was so enthralled with your summary that I just let you go over time, so.
It did end up being 30 seconds exactly.
I don't know how, but whatever. Okay, my phone's at 3%, so we have limited
option
time. Yes, okay, in 3, 2, 1, go.
Okay, the Turps find a Dratini for the first time in English because I'd never seen one before outside of Japan in the Safari Zone. Claire is there, and she's wearing a hideous outfit. And an old man is there, and he's like, we gotta do the purification ritual. And Claire's like, but my Dratini's gonna evolve. But Team Rocket's there. We talk about Lance for a while, and then it turns out Dratini was bringing us to the purification ritual site. And they do it, and there's a light dragon.
Time.
Okay.
Is this really the first time we've seen Dratini? Outside
Has it appeared outside that Safari Zone episode?
You would know better than I would.
I can't recall.
I can't recall either, and that's really shocking to me, although I guess back in the day, Dratini and its line were, like, super rare.
I feel like we see Dragonite all the time.
Up to this point, when have we seen Dragonite? We saw it in the movie, which, that doesn't count.
Mewtwo's Dragonite. Okay, then we've only really seen it the one time, then. In the Orange Islands.
I guess it is special and rare. Eh.
Okay.
Not so much anymore. I think I'm just, like, old and jaded now, because I'm, like... Anyway, Ash currently is an excitable mess. He's absolutely falling apart at the seams. He's running like a maniac towards the gym, even though we're apparently not even like close to it at this point. But they're sidetracked, as they are, by a sleeping Dratini who's just sleeping on a grassy riverbank. And is it a wild Dratini? Is it owned by somebody? At this point, who the fuck knows? Because Claire, I guess it's Claire's, but we don't know that yet. Before they can even get close to it, though, a Gyarados jumps out of the lake and attacks them. And they're interrupted by a very gym leader looking character. You can obviously tell when there's like a main character alert because this person has silver hair with like gravity defying properties. And that's how you can tell a main
silver?
Character. Blue? Blue, silver.
I thought it would be a blue color. It's like a light blue.
It's like a light silvery blue, isn't it?
Well, now I gotta look.
All that to say, you can always tell a main character by their hair.
Yeah, it's not a normal human hair color, yes.
And it defies gravities in ways that is not physically possible. I thought she had, like, really blue hair in, like, the game.
It looks like it becomes more blue as we go on through the anime.
Maybe that's just because it gets darker.
Or the art style and animation palette changes.
Anyway, so Brock has an aneurysm because, of course, he's overcome. Claire is so beautiful. But before he can throw himself onto her... She fucks off because she's like, you know what? I don't have time for this bullshit. My Dratini has begun its migration. And we have to follow it. Because this is apparently something that the Dratini do. Some old guy runs up and he's like, oh my god, Miss Claire, how could you do this? How could you forsake the sacred purification ritual? We don't have time for this nonsense. Does this guy even have a name?
I couldn't notice one if he did.
Does our favorite source give him a name?
What favorite source would that be, Alex?
Are you going to make me say it?
Okay, so his Japanese, according to Bulbapedia.
Bulbapedia.
Is Kaburagi.
Kaburagi?
Oh, shit, he comes back.
He does?
Apparently.
Oh, well, okay, old man Jenkins. So, yeah, he's like, oh, my God, we don't have time for this. We have to do this by midnight because, like, I don't know, the world will end if we don't or something. And he explains that he works for Claire at the Blackthorn Gym. And he is charged with guarding and maintaining the secret sacred treasure, which is the Dragon Fang. And he's not doing a very good job because he, like, trips and falls and it flies across the ground and, like, almost breaks.
Remind me, is the Dragon Fang just a held item that boosts dragon-type attacks?
To my knowledge, that's all it is in the first couple games, yes.
Okay, that's what I thought.
The guy, Oldster guy, is like, yes, I work for Claire. I keep the Fang safe. It's been in the gym for generations, and this is a very important ritual that we have to do. Meanwhile, Team Rocket is relaxing along the bank of the river when the Dratini just happens to float by. And Jessie is completely enamored with the Dratini, and she's like, I have to have it. But Claire interrupts them when they try to catch it for themselves because she's like, this is my Dratini. Get your greasy paws off. And she blasts them off again easily. Ash and Old Guy finally catch up with Claire, and he pleads with her that she must come back because the purification ritual, as we all know, just so happens to happen every 3 years, and today is the anniversary of that day.
It's not quite an annual festival.
It's a tri-annual festival.
Very World Cup.
3 years is such a weird, arbitrary date.
I went this entire episode thinking that the Dragon Fang ceremony was a word I'm looking for.
What?
Was like just like a tradition that didn't actually do anything. Because they kept on being like, the Dragon Fang ceremony ritual will help the dragon types. I'm like, okay, how? What's going to happen? And I don't think we ever quite got an answer, but clearly something's going to happen.
But I don't think we get an answer even when something does happen.
Okay, yeah, well, we'll get there.
Hawktua. I still don't really understand
that. I don't know where that came from.
I don't know where that came from either.
What
the
fuck? What word am I trying to think of? Oh my God.
I can't even help you because I'm not really sure where that thought was going.
I don't either.
Let's just move on.
Please do. Put me on my misery.
Oh my God, I'm completely lost my train of thought. Okay, coincidentally, 3 years is the anniversary of 3 years is today, so we have to do this ritual by midnight, or I don't know, some sort of cataclysm will happen, who knows.
Yeah, what will happen if we don't do this today?
He's very adamant that it must be tonight by midnight, and I'm like, well, what happens if we, like, miss it? Like, what?
See, the fact that Claire was so dismissive of it made me think it wasn't real.
Anyway, she's like, well, obviously my Dratini shedding its skin is more important than some ancient purification ritual, so we have to attend to this first. They aren't in a big hurry, though, because they stop for lunch and they eat sandwiches, which are very obviously not sandwiches. They are rice balls.
Oh, did they say sandwiches?
Yes.
Okay.
I think they said sandwiches.
Okay, missed that.
I wrote it in quotation marks, so they must have said it. Oldster then asks them about the crazy rumor he heard surrounding a report of a red Gyarados at the Lake of Rage. And we get a nice flashback to our time with Lance.
We had to save that budget however possible.
Are we, like, coming into a, like, animation intense segment or something that where they would have to save their money? Because it wasn't either one of these two episodes.
We are coming up on the transition to the new animation style. That's going to be happening soon.
Well, maybe that's potentially why.
You know how the opening sequences and Mewtwo Returns and, like, some special stuff uses the digital art style?
Yes.
That's going to become the only art style soon.
Well, maybe they're squirreling some money away for that then, because we get a nice, longer than necessary flashback to...
Oh, yes.
Lance, and in case you forgot, they make sure to bring this up several times. Lance is a Pokemon G-Man. Even this old guy is like, well, say, I didn't know Lance was a Pokemon G-Man.
That was my quote.
Oh, no! I'm sorry.
I love how even the people in the universe don't know what the G-Men are. Like, consistently, no one knows.
Maybe Lance is just full of shit. Like, I'm sorry I took your quote, but I feel like it's one of those universal ones. We just have to say it.
What are the G-men?
We still don't have an answer. I thought maybe like Claire could provide some throwaway line or exposition or something, but she wasn't gonna do that. She was silent as the grave. I think she mentioned something about like training Lance or Lance. She trained Lance, right?
Yeah, that's what she said.
It's a whole big dragon family.
Did you notice they didn't mention the fact that Lance and Claire are related?
They didn't mention that.
Was that not established yet? Did we not know that yet?
Did Lance say anything about that when we met him before?
No, they didn't mention Claire.
So how do we know that they're related? Is that something that came from the games?
It had to have been.
Where did that come from?
I don't know when the origin of that was.
Okay, it says Lance, according to Bulbapedia, Lance is her cousin.
Right.
Where does that come from?
When was the first instance they ever said that?
It has to be in the game.
Okay, this says, my source is game FAQs. Says that they're cousins in the manga, Pokemon Adventures, I would assume.
In the manga?
Okay, somewhere they are established concretely to be related.
Okay,
but not in this, apparently.
Does any of her quotes mention that? Just giving a cursory look. Hold on. Sorry. Pokemon Crystal. She's gotta mention it.
Maybe Lance mentions it.
Does Lance mention it?
I'm on it.
Okay, I don't know. Is this like the fandom just like making shit up? Because where is this from? I don't know. There's no source.
They're Schrodinger's cousins.
Yeah.
They're girls and cousins too.
Guys, if anybody out there is listening and knows the origin of the Claire-Lance familial relationship thing, please let us know. I don't...
We got to find out. We got to figure this out.
We'll figure it out, but more likely we'll forget. Anyway, they're related in some capacity. They don't say that, but they are. Anyway, so we've successfully wasted like 5 minutes of runtime, and Team Rocket's back, except for this time they're dressed up as old people from the 1800s. I really like their costumes. I thought they were funny. They successfully cause a diversion in wanting to take pictures of the Dratini, and they make off with it in their Team Rocket balloon. Claire decides to do some Tarzan shit where she swings from tree to tree instead of running after them like a normal person.
This blew my mind.
Why was she doing that?
It's inexplicable that Claire does a backflip onto a tree branch and then swings from vine to vine.
Imagine somebody standing on the ground and then jumping, backflipping into a tree, landing perfectly on the tree branch that's like 10 feet up in the air, and then starting to swing like Tarzan.
Do you know who else does this?
Lance?
Iris.
Oh my god, you're so right.
Remember, Iris would do this exact same thing frequently.
Was she emulating Claire?
I know she and Claire become good friends.
Oh my god.
So, I'll be honest. Okay, this is like kind of out of pocket. I always kind of thought the fact that they had Iris be like a nature girl was kind of racist.
Oh my god.
Like the fact that we meet her and she's like swinging from fucking tree to tree, that's alarming. Maybe the intention was that's what dragon-type trainers do. I don't know.
Does anybody else swing from tree to tree? Do we see Drayden swinging from tree to tree?
Probably not. I can't imagine that. Although that would be kind of fun.
That would be fun. Who else is a dragon trainer? Who's that one guy from Ruby and Sapphire? Drake?
Well, he's like a sea captain.
Doesn't he train dragon types?
Yeah, but he wouldn't be in the trees. He's like on the ocean.
Well, considering that Claire is like 30 and Iris is like 10... She's not even born at this point, supposedly.
Well, and yet she's Ash's age. Isn't that interesting?
Somehow, I fucking know. Wow.
The Iris situation is probably still racist, but I just noted it.
Dratini, meanwhile, manages to wriggle the balloon straight down into the ground and crash. And that allows Claire and the twerps to catch up with them. Wobbuffet actually does something for once and uses its attack. Is it? I can never remember. Is Thunderbolt physical at this point or...
I think surely it's special at this point.
Special. I think every time Jesse says counter, I think Wobbuffet just knows to use Mirror Coat if the situation warrants it.
Right, we figured that out. Wobbuffet's just doing just whatever.
Does.
He knows better than Jesse knows.
Yes. Regardless, it sends Pikachu's Thunderbolt right back to it. Claire decides to sacrifice herself by throwing her body in front of Dratini in order to protect it. This showing of, like, selflessness and... self-sacrifice is enough to make Dratini evolve into Dragonair, which it seemed like it was going to do anyway, because
yeah,
it was shedding its skin.
I'm kind of glad we didn't see Dratini shed its skin, but I kind of wanted to see Dratini shed its skin.
Would it be like a snake?
Do you ever watch videos of reptiles shedding their skin?
I can't say that I do.
Okay, well, I don't seek them out, but if I see them, I'm going to sit and watch it.
It seems like it'd be, like, really uncomfortable, because isn't it, like, really itchy and shit, and they have to, like, scrape their skin off?
Well, isn't that why they do it in the first place? It's because it causes them discomfort?
Yes.
Yeah.
Could you imagine if people had to do that?
Thank God we don't.
God, that would be disgusting. So, yeah, it evolves. Jesse is absolutely gutted because she hates Dragonair and thinks it's, like, fugly. And she's like, how dare you? How very dare you? And they get blasted off again.
I don't believe Jesse dislikes Dragonair.
It doesn't make sense, but she has, like, a hatred for it.
She likes Dratini and hates Dragonair? I can get going from Dragonair to Dragon Knight.
Sure, but she doesn't even, as we'll see in the next episode, she doesn't seem to have strong feelings about Dragonite. I think Jesse just likes small, cute creatures. Maybe Dragonair is just too majestic? I don't know. The day isn't over yet. In case you forgot, we still have to do the purification ritual, and now it's 5 minutes to midnight, so they just made it or something. Dragonair, it takes them to Riverhead Falls. Is that what it was called?
Sure.
Which is kind of a weird name, but whatever. I thought it was going to be like Dragon, Majestic Dragon, Wonderful Falls or whatever, something extra.
Okay, so they go to the Majestic Dragon, Wonderful Falls.
Yes. And Claire performs her ritual, which is just taking some water and pouring it onto the fang. Somehow, in like the span of like 2 minutes, she like tears off her clothes and like has a bodysuit and a cape.
Right.
Because she was wearing like explorer gear earlier, cargo pants and stuff.
I hated her ugly salmon shirt.
Yeah, what was going on with that? So,
it did not match her hair. It was a thing.
She looked very washed out in that ugly salmon shirt.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, she rips all that off, and now she's in her signature form-fitting dark blue or black bodysuit with a red flowing cape.
Which is a good look.
It is a good look.
It's much better than, like, Lance's pajamas he's wearing.
I was looking at her outfit in Heart Gold, Soul Silver, which I liked the anime outfit way better.
Which one?
What's her first outfit look like?
The black one is from the game.
Her outfit in Heart Gold, Soul Silver is, like, blue.
And her outfit in Gold and Silver is the black one.
Let me go back to the... Oh, is her outfit in the first game also have, like, shorts?
Yeah.
Oh.
I'm pretty sure.
Okay. I guess it doesn't go all the way down to her.
Oh, you thought they took her from pants to shorts?
Yeah. No, I guess she always wore shorts. Or at least the bodysuit ends at the thigh. Like, it doesn't go all the way down. Anyway, we don't see that part. It's a much better look, like Austin said. This is where the weird thing happens, which I guess is supposed to be consequential, but I honestly can't figure it out. I had to go back and watch it a couple times. She pours the water from the falls onto the fang, and then a giant beam of light that turns into a dragon-shaped thing erupts into space, and it flies into the moon or something and becomes, like, a star. Question mark, question mark, question mark. Do you have any, like,
no, information? No, this was inexplicable. Why? It's the questions we already asked. What is this doing?
Yeah.
Why is it so important it has to be done during this calendar date, during the clock hours of the date? What will happen if they don't do this?
We get no answers.
We have no answers.
I wish that they had maybe explained this further. Like, oh, we do this to appease the ancient dragon gods. Or if we don't do this, then the dragon types lose their power, or, like, what's some
and
other...
And if that's the case, why does Claire not give a shit?
Yeah, to your earlier point, she wasn't really fussed about making it there. The old guy was the only one who was like, we have to do this before midnight, or something. And then nothing happens. Like, I thought maybe Dragonair or, like, some of her other dragon-type Pokemon may get some kind of, like, boost in power, or something would happen to them, or, like, anything to indicate that something occurred as a result of the ritual. But and if you're thinking we get answers to this later, you are sadly mistaken. There is no answer.
We still got 3 more Claire episodes to go after this, so we'll see.
I don't think this is going to come back up.
No, it's not.
That's the end of that. And because of this, now all of her duties are done, and she's like, okay, now I can in good conscience face you in a battle, Ash, because you are the best and you've proven that to me by doing absolutely nothing. So yes, we can battle.
I don't recall her saying all that, but I believe you.
I mean, what did Ash do that helped? Because I feel like he didn't do anything.
Ash brought Team Rocket with them, and Team Rocket attacking led to Dratini evolving.
Which it would have done anyway, because that's what it was on its way to do.
It would have done it at 12:01 a.m., and they would not have had time to do the dragon purification ritual, and all the dragon types in the world would have exploded.
Maybe you're right. Maybe Ash was the catalyst that Dratini needed in order to evolve on time and saved the world from certain destruction. I was so silly. I can't believe I didn't see that before. Thank you, Austin, for showing me the light.
MVP, LVP, end quote.
Oh, God, I feel like I've talked forever.
I got my dragon coin for this episode. Let's flip it. You go first.
My MVP is going to be Claire's tailor, wherever she gets her clothes from, because
she gets it from, like, a bondage gear outfit. Like, she gets it from, like, a BDSM store.
There weren't any ball gags involved this time.
Not this time. Doesn't she have a whip? I could have sworn she had a whip.
I know some of the original Team Rocket members in, like, the first game had whips.
No, maybe she didn't have a whip. Maybe I made that up. Maybe that was a sexy dream I had.
No, she doesn't have a whip, but she does have some really sexy boots and capes and shit going on. Look, all I say that to say not everybody can pull off a form-fitting bodysuit and a cape, and she can do it. So, good for her.
True. Yep.
I will say that for MVP. My LVP is going to be... It was kind of a lackluster episode. I don't really know. I guess this old guy for, like, insisting that they have to do this by 11:59 tonight because question mark, and, like, he doesn't explain.
All the dragon types will explode.
He doesn't even give us his name. There's just too many questions, open-ended. I hate this guy. I feel like he didn't explain shit. My quote, there wasn't, like, a whole lot of good quotes, actually. Okay, I'm gonna give it to Brock. I know this. You guys are gonna cringe and you'll be like, ugh, Brock.
No, it was a good quote.
Sure.
I'm pretty sure he's actually done this exact quote before.
I think so. It sounds familiar. Anyway, when he has an orgasm over seeing Claire for the first time, he says, "My name's Brock, and you can call me Brock. But to be totally honest, Claire, since everyone else calls me Brock, you can just call me your boyfriend."
That's one we've heard before.
Classic Brock.
Okay, my turn. My MVP will be shit.
Your MVP is shit?
My MVP will be Claire's,
whip.
No, Claire's personal trainer for getting her so fit that she can, like, jump through the trees like that.
Does she have a personal trainer?
Yeah, she has, like, a whole team. She has her tailor, she has her personal trainer, she has her old man who lectures her about the ritual ceremony, she has her manicurist and pedicurist, and she has a whole team. She has a whole squad we don't see.
Why am I feeling like we're ascribing a backstory to her that, like, I could have sworn this came from somewhere, but, like, I feel like at one point she described, like, coming from luxury or, like, royalty or something.
They did say something like the dragon type gym family had, like, this whole, like, impressive lineage. Alex is laughing because she dropped her microphone and now she's on mute. Okay, I'm going to keep talking. There was this whole backstory about the first gym leader, and the first gym leader stopped an evil dragon and took its fang as a trophy, and that is the dragon fang that is central to these episodes. And I suppose Claire is a direct descendant from that original gym trainer, and I suppose so would Lance, since they're allegedly first cousins. I don't know how the old man fits in. I don't know if he's, like, a distant cousin. And yeah, in my imagination, Claire just has an entire, like, she has, like, a Kim Kardashian-style team always around her, making sure she doesn't walk off a cliff, like I imagine Kim K would probably do without instruction. My LVP is going to be... My LVP is going to be Jesse. Alex, I'm watching on the screen, muted, and she's like in a manic state trying to reassemble her microphone that fell into 1,000 pieces when it went flying through the air off of her lap. You can't hear it, but she's like very animated.
I am so sorry.
What happened?
Oh my god, this microphone is like, oh my god, okay, so it's only like $50, right? It's the cheap ass microphone. And I'm sitting there talking to Austin, and the fucking thing, it's held together by one screw, And it, like, fell apart in my hands. It, like, flew across.
Oh, in your hand.
It, like, flew across my laptop screen and, like, skidded down to the couch. And, like, the whole thing just broke into two pieces. And then I was trying to screw it back together. And it wasn't working. So I'm sorry about that.
Okay. Whew. So my LVP is going to be Jesse because her logic about Jatini and Dragonair doesn't make any sense at all. That's being too picky, Jesse. My quote will be in reference to our Sally Field reference from last episode.
Oh, yeah.
Will be James saying, "And did you notice how perfectly I perform my role? I should be up for an Academy Award." And then Jesse says, "Yes, but as a supporting actor, since I was a star. And the Oscar for Best Actress in a Starring Role goes to..." Presumably Jesse.
Was the Academy Awards or some other kind of thing happening when these episodes came out, or what?
I don't know. It's clearly top of mind.
So I feel like we've got more than one reference to this. And
have we gotten to the Crash beating Brokeback Mountain scandal yet? Is that what's going on? I don't know.
No, but I can't believe that happened.
All right, that's it. That's this episode. Beauty is skin deep. Get ready to time me. No, wait, ooh. I'm timing you. I take it back.
Oh my god. I almost got away with it. Damn.
Too bad.
This is a gym episode, so just prepare yourselves.
Well, it's kind of a gym episode. It's kind of not.
Sort of, kind of.
We'll find out in 3, 2, 1, go.
So, the long-anticipated 8th gym battle is finally here. We jump right into it. It's Kingdra versus Pikachu to start, and Ash is shocked, literally, that his attacks aren't working because he forgot how dragon types worked. Meanwhile, Jesse, James, Meowth are trying to figure out how to capture the dragon types and get revenge on Claire for having the audacity to make it evolve. They somehow end up in the dragon's den in the Dragon Holy Land, where they brainwash a Dragonite into siding with them, and then we see a familiar face coming to the rescue.
We are at the gym, which has a pool, which means a Pokemon's gonna use the pool. We kind of just jump right into it, because the old man is the judge, of course, and Brock is like, "Oh, this is gonna be a tough one for Ash," and Misty's like, "Yeah, you're right." And then Brock is like, "Silly Misty, Ash has this in the bag." Shut up, Brock.
I have problems with Brock, and I will save those.
Ooh, you do? Okay, interesting.
Because he's a dumbass.
You
want to
save that for later?
Should I just do it now?
Yeah, go for it.
I feel like nothing is ever gained by saving discussion points. Brock is an idiot. I don't know what happened to him in this episode, but like, he very obviously knows the reasoning why the attacks are not hitting correctly or having as much of an effect. In one scene, he's like, "Wow, that electric attack should have done a shit ton of damage. Maximum damage." Obviously, it doesn't. And they're all like, "What? What's going on? Oh my god." And then he's like, "Well, I knew this would happen. It's because Kingdra is a dragon type." And I was like, where was this information 5 seconds ago? What the fuck?
Brock is really flip-flopping, isn't he? He goes from Ash is going to have a hard time to Ash is going to have no difficulty whatsoever. Pikachu has an advantage over Kingdra because it's a water type. To, "You fools, Kingdra is a dragon type." He's very inconsistent.
I understand that they're drip feeding exposition and information to the audience as we go along, but it's like, it only comes across as, well, you knew this the entire time. So, I mean, let's not get into the whole thing. I have a lot we could say, and obviously we have a lot we could say about Brock and Misty's giving him guidance from the sidelines. I think that's bull, as always. Oh,
yeah. As we alluded to, there's a whole thing of Pikachu shocking Kingdra and it not doing much damage. And it's all discovering that, oh my god, Kingdra is part dragon type, even though Claire is a dragon type gym leader. So that shouldn't be that much of a shock. I suppose she also has a Gyarados, which is not a dragon type.
They are sort of limited with what they can do in these early days.
Kingdra uses a twister attack and Pikachu gets hit by it. And Ash is like, "What attack is that?" Even though I believe Dragonair used Twister Attack in the previous episode. Whoops. So, meanwhile, Team Rocket is here. And this is a very split episode. We keep on going back and forth between the gym battle and Team Rocket's antics. Way more than usual. And there's a reason for that. I was shocked to discover that the Jelly Donuts are in this episode.
But are they the Jelly Donuts, though? Because
they're not Onigiri. What are they? Is it dumplings?
They look like dumplings.
Some sort of carb-heavy item. Jesse is all upset about that Dratini evolving because, I don't know, she's stupid, I guess. So James offers up a big old plate of quote-unquote jelly donuts. I kind of think the jelly donuts gag from the first season has totally caught on at this point because they do the exact same thing if they say the word jelly donut and donut approximately 50,000 times in one scene.
In case you forgot, these are donuts.
Donut, 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 jelly donut, jelly donut. And the jelly donuts actually have a much bigger role than you might think. Because as Team Rocket, Jesse, James, and Meowth are talking about the dragon types and their plans to get revenge on Claire, something appears from the bushes. Hmm. A mysterious blue figure that we've never seen before arrives to steal the quote-unquote jelly donuts one by one. As Wobbuffet looks on in horror and doesn't know what to do with himself.
Poor Wobbuffet.
Until inevitably, the other three members of Team Rocket turn around and they want some jelly donuts and they're all gone. And they're like, what happened to the jelly donuts? And the mysterious voice says, why not? And they're all like, that sounds like a confession to me, Wobbuffet.
Yeah, because Wobbuffet says, why not?
I'm guessing that was originally a pun based on why not and Wobbuffet's Japanese names having a question and answer phenomenon going on.
Which is what, again? It always confuses me.
I think I've seen it translated as, is that so? And Wobbuffet says, it is so.
Ah.
So something like that.
Well, they asked the question rhetorically of, did you eat a plate of 11 donuts or something?
Oh, and then why not says, why not?
Yeah. So maybe that was supposed to be our version of that. Like, I don't know. The answer, the question, the answer, I don't know.
Yeah, why not? Okay, let's talk about why not. Why not's here. Hello.
We barely saw it. Just so you guys know, we saw its little arms come out of the bushes and that's about it.
Yeah, we're getting a little preview of why not.
I have to look at what a why not looks like because I always forget. Is it's like arm things attached to its head?
Yeah, its arms are like ears.
Oh, so it's got like a little protrusion thing coming off of its forehead and its little ear hands.
It's got a big old head and a little body, right?
It's got like a little skirt looking thing and it's got like some little blue nubby feet and then the tail, which has one eye on it versus the two.
I've always thought why not super cute.
I think it's cute, but it's pretty inconsequential for me. Like, I barely remember it ever exists.
I agree. I think just aesthetically, I think it has a much better design than Wobbuffet does. No offense to Wobbuffet.
I mean, it's cuter. It looks less like a punching bag and more like a, I don't know, why does it remind me like a dog? I think it's like the floppy ears that like hang down.
I like how its little eyes, it's like triangle eyes point upward and not towards the middle like Wobbuffet does.
Not like a grimace, more like a happy face.
I don't know. I like why not a lot. But of course, Wobbuffet is iconic.
Yeah, of course.
Like why not exists because of Team Rocket's Wobbuffet, obviously.
Yeah.
I would think that's a fair assumption, right?
I would think so. I mean, without it getting so much screen time, I don't know if they would have ever decided to give it a baby form.
And why not here early, even though it's not Gen 3 yet?
Oh my god, you are so right.
Did you not realize that beforehand?
I didn't realize that. I'm such a bad fan. I'm sorry, you guys. It seems synonymous with Gen 2 to me, but I guess that's because of Wobbuffet. Wow.
And I guess they're building it up to be like a big mystery because no one sees it and no one identifies it.
I mean, to be fair, maybe that's the reason why I'm not surprised. I mean, one, because we live in 2024 and these are old news when it comes to the designs or whatever. But also, we've seen some Gen 3 ones already, Kecleon and stuff. So it's like, oh.
The Game Boy Advance is already out, I think. We got to promote these upcoming games.
I mean, it did a damn good job because I remember getting a Game Boy Advance SP and I bought Ruby and Sapphire and Emerald. And I know we've talked about this. I don't know why Gen 3 grabbed me so profoundly. Like
You were the right age.
I guess so. I guess we were just that right age group.
I meanwhile skipped Ruby and Sapphire. I went straight to Emerald.
I mean, Emerald was the definitive version. It was better in every single way. And I remember having the backlight on the SP was like groundbreaking. Absolutely groundbreaking. And just it folded up.
Can you imagine?
Can I imagine what now?
A backlight on a mobile device.
Fuck.
Meanwhile, Brock and Misty are doing our favorite thing that they do, which is telling Ash what to do from the sidelines.
Bullshit.
And they tell Ash, clearly Pikachu is not a good match for Kingdra, send something else out. So he picks Noctowl, which was a pleasant surprise. It's kind of funny because Noctowl leaves this confusion to physically lift Kingdra from the pool. And he's gonna throw Kingdra to the wall, but Kingdra uses the Hydro Pump to stop that from happening. And now it's just kind of like on the ground standing there stupidly. But unfortunately, Kingdra knows agility, which allows it to like teleport around the stadium, which is kind of fun. Back to Team Rocket, because there's a lot of cutting back and forth. There's a whole Mission Impossible sequence. They go to like the storage area of the gym that exists for all Johto gyms, it seems. And their intention is to steal that magical dragon fang that has inexplicable powers that we don't understand, but only once every 3 years until midnight. And they are going to steal it, but there are infrared beams everywhere. So James puts on his infrared beamovision goggles and uses Handy Andy, which is not a masseuse that will give you a happy ending. It is a hand on a crank that can go through infrared lasers. Alex is laughing at me.
I mean, I'm sorry. This is hard not to prescribe our dirty, adult-minded bullshit to this, like, innocuous children's show thing, but how can you have something that's called Handy Andy?
Yeah, I'm going to give him a Handy Andy in the alley.
Like, why does James just have that, first of all? I feel like the implication is this is a personal enhancement device.
Ew, that makes me think of the Rose. Have you ever seen that thing?
The Rose? God, do I want to know?
It's like some sort of weird device that you put onto a penis and it like rotates and like it looks really violent, actually. It's like suction technology. It looks disgusting.
Well, I'm sorry to break this to you, Austin, but I guess I'm woefully out of the loop when it comes to male sex toys.
Well, I think they used to promote them on, like, Twitter and some bullshit back when that still existed. More on that at a later time.
Good God. So, yeah, this is James's hand job thing.
So, James and his hand job assistant, they get to the dragon thing, and I kind of, like, lost track for a second, but I think they trip a infrared beam, right?
It's Wobba Fett's fault.
Oh, what does he do?
He fucking... like, this is going very well. This is absolutely working. They do the goggles, the Handy Andy. They start pulling it back towards them, reeling it in, whatever. They have it in their hands. They have the box. They have done it. They are successful. Wobba Fett inexplicably pops out of nowhere, flies in from left side of the screen and falls into them and pushes them into the beam.
I kind of think that should have been revenge for them blaming him for the why not earlier.
Can we please pretend that's what it is?
Wobba Fett was pissed.
He was pissed. He's like, how fucking dare you accuse me of eating 11 donuts? Fuck you.
No, that's not a character for Wobba Fett. He's a loving sort. He's very loyal to Jesse and Team Rocket.
He is. He's kind of the hapless, bumbling goofball. He had some kind of, like, attack and, like, fell into them. I don't know.
He does tend to, like, fall out of the balloon and shit for no reason.
I don't know where he came from. He literally just...
that's his whole thing. He pops in.
Yeah, he just appeared.
So. Do we like how when Wobba Fett comes out of his Pokeball, it doesn't do, like, the typical Pokeball effects? He just, like, manifests. Have we ever even discussed that? It's like his whole thing.
I think our word of the day is inexplicable because I just keep saying it over and over. Inexplicable.
I've said it like 20 times. This is a very inexplicable series of episodes. Somehow, through Wobba Fett's incompetence, they are notified that Team Rocket is on the scene. So the gym battle is stopped so they can go pursue them, which is not where I remembered happening. I remembered Ash losing this gym battle, but I suppose I misremembered it.
I'm assuming there's a continuation of the battle.
Yes.
Is that perhaps something that happens later, or is this like the obligatory interruption or something?
No, I don't think he ever loses to Claire. I think I just got it wrong.
That seems so weird because I also had a memory of him losing to Claire.
Well, I told you he lost to Claire.
But maybe I took your word as the gospel truth and...
I could always be wrong. I remember that one time I said Veronica Taylor played that weird woman in that video, and I was wrong. Don't ever take me to be the God's truth, because it's not necessarily true.
Okay, I have a question then, and maybe I'm somehow conflating this with the Whitney gym battle. In the game, is there some kind of something with Claire that she doesn't give you something or something? Like, what happens there? I forget.
Again, I could be wrong. I've not played Gold and Silver since 2001, but if I remember correctly... After you beat her, you have to go to the dragon den and find her, and then she'll give you the badge and the TM that says she has bad breath.
That says she has bad breath?
Yeah, she says, here's the dragon breath TM, but that doesn't mean I have bad breath. Ha 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 ha.
All right, we're going back to Bulbapedia. I'm sorry, y'all.
You go back to Bulbapedia.
Keep going. I'm going to look something up.
While I move forward. Team Rocket steals a motorboat, and the twerps follow in pursuit. Claire and get on her Dragonair that newly evolved, and they fly after Team Rocket. The twerps are confused as to what they should do, and I said they should have just built a raft out of nearby trees, like they usually do, but they don't do that. Instead, they use Totodile, Staryu, and Politoed. By the way, Politoed has to be told twice, so typical.
Can I just say what bullshit this is, that Claire has a Gyarados that could easily ferry
three children. I forgot she had a Gyarados.
Children. She fucking jumps on Dragonair, like you said, and rides in comfort to the Dragon Den. Meanwhile, Ash, Misty, and Brock have to slog through the water and make their poor little Pokemon pull them. Which she could have been like, here, guys, jump on Gyarados. What the fuck?
Claire does not care about them at all.
Claire does not care.
She's not a Care Bear. She's a Claire Bear. I don't know. So, we all go to the Dragon Den, which is rather boring. It's just like
a cave.
Water tunnels that have a bunch of crotches.
Crotches? Oh my god, the crotch!
Because there's forks in the road and they have to pick every single time. And Dragonair has to use its magical dragon abilities to tell which way Team Rocket went.
The crotch.
Of course, one of these tunnels leads to a giant waterfall, which Team Rocket falls down and their stolen motorboat is utterly destroyed. And Team Rocket fall out of the air, cut to the Dragon Holy Land.
Oh.
Which I think does not exist in the game, but it's a big, great fertile valley, like in the Land Before Time. There's a bunch of Pokemon there, only one of whom is a dragon type, so I don't know where it got that name from.
You don't remember that Sunflora and Furret have secondary dragon types?
Was a Furret there?
There was a Furret. There was some fucking Jumpluff and Hoppip and Rattata and everything.
Have we ever seen a Furret before?
I don't know.
Is this Furret's main episode debut?
Was there not ever a Furret before?
I don't recall them going to the Furret Festival at Furret Town.
Oh, shit. Is this where it gets its 5 minutes of fame? 5 seconds?
I guess it is.
Actually, 1 second because it was barely on screen.
They go to the Great Furret Valley, and a Dragonite is there, and it swoops up and it grabs Team Rocket out of the air. And I have an interesting continuity point if you want to hear it.
Yes, I do.
James says, "Thank you, Dragonite, sir." But a later episode, many years from now, will reveal this is a female Dragonite.
Oh, what?
Isn't that interesting?
When did we ever... I'm more interested in the fact that we got a callback to this and that they would specify that.
It's from Best Wishes / Black and White.
Oh, goodness me.
Again, don't quote me. I'm not God. Team Rocket has a one-on-one with this Dragonite, and they tell her that they took the Dragon Fang because some evil people want to steal it and use its unlimited power to kill all the dragon types and set everything on fire and just cause general mayhem and destruction. And they are the Dragon Fang's protectors. And it turns out this Dragonite belonged to the original gym leader from however many eons ago. And ever since the original gym leader passed away, she's been sad.
Okay, one thing. So he frames it as that the original trainer left it, which implies that it was, like, abandoned.
Oh, I thought that the gym leader just died.
No, I thought that makes more sense. That obviously this is generations ago. And the thing that makes the most sense is that the person died, passed away, and just, like, left Dragonite there. Even though Dragonite doesn't look old or elderly or anything. Is it jaded because it was abandoned? I think the person just, like, died, but...
Remember, they can't say death. They can't say die. Remember when Brock the First mysteriously vanished? And they were like, so that means that he... And then they keep going. With another line of dialogue.
Why can't they just say that? Why can't they just say they passed on? Like
network standards, I guess.
What the fuck? Okay, whatever.
Maybe you're not allowed to say die unless you have, like, a whole lesson on, like, here's what death is, children, and we're going to learn about the impermanence of life.
So they just have to say it. They left it.
So this Dragonite is pissed. She starts to cry because she's a very sweetheart old Dragonite. God knows how old she is, actually. I don't know how long ago the first Blackthorn gym leader existed. The Dragonite launches a Hyper Beam at the twerps. So they're like, what are we going to do? And then a mysterious shadow appears in the sun. And Ash and friends look directly at the sun to see what's going on. And a mysterious draconic figure is flying in. Who could it possibly be? Well, it certainly is orange and looks like a Charizard. And the narrator seems to be implying it's Charizard. Is it Charizard? Find out next time.
I mean, they don't even obscure the damn thing. It's absolutely
just blatantly Charizard.
It's not even hidden. It's not even, like, blacked out to the point where you could only see a shadow or something.
I don't know why they didn't have the episode end with Ash being like, Charizard!
Whatever.
Okay.
Just a really quick, I don't mean to bring this back up, but yes, just to bring it full circle, because I hate loose ends. Austin was correct. They do talk about dragon breath, and that Claire mentions that it doesn't have anything to do with her breath. And also, you do beat her, but she won't admit it. And she says, I may have lost, but you're still not ready for the league. You have to go do the dragon user challenge. And then that's where you go and do some bullshit in the cave and then get the dragon fang. Blah, blah, blah.
I don't like how Johto has two female gym leaders who don't give you the badge immediately. One of them pitches a fit like a child and cries. And Claire is like, I think they'd be fine if the Whitney thing didn't exist at the same time. You know what I mean?
Well, it's two bad tropes, like, personified. You've got, like you said, you've got the one, which is Whitney, who's a crybaby, and Boo Hoo's like a petulant child. And it's like, I didn't want to give you the badge. Wah. So it's like, on the one hand, you have that. And on the other hand, you have, like, the Ice Queen trope of Claire saying, well, I lost, but I'm not going to concede defeat, and you haven't done enough yet. So it's like, you got the crybaby and the Ice Queen trope.
Yeah, these are not the most progressive of storylines for these characters.
That's some bullshit. How come any of the male gym leaders weren't portrayed that way?
Yeah, thankfully, neither of those things happen in the anime. Instead, we get whatever this is, which I actually really like the next episode, if I remember correctly. Maybe my opinions will have changed in the intervening 14 years. We'll find out.
I don't have a single shred of remembrance of when it comes to this episode. I don't know. Apparently Charizard's here.
Yep.
Well then, who's going first?
Let's see. Let's see what the Dragonite coin has to say. Now, this Dragonite coin was owned by the original gym leader.
Ooh.
So we're going to see what happens. And also, I'm going to pour some water on it, and there's going to be a purification ceremony. So 1 second.
And the golden dragon light is going to come out.
It fell on my slipper, and it's a tails.
My MVP is going to be Handy Andy.
Yeah.
For...
He's very handy.
Always there to lend a hand, if you know what I mean. He's a multi-purpose hand. He can give the best of the hand jobs and also steal priceless relics from storage facilities.
I thought you were going to say he can give the best of hand jobs and the worst of hand jobs.
He could. Okay, you know what? Can I backpedal a little bit? That's better.
Yeah, that's what you said.
The best of the hand jobs and the worst of the hand jobs. Do you think that James got Handy Andy from Popular Pokemon Magazine?
I think he got it from some another magazine, not necessarily Ooh. Popular Pokemon Magazine.
I feel like Popular Pokemon Magazine caters to all sorts of clientele.
Oh, okay.
It's your one-stop shop.
I mean, they sell Mecha, so...
There you go. My LVP is going to be this Dragonite, I guess, for just being completely suckered in with no proof whatsoever. Very easily manipulated. I feel like this Dragonite should know Claire. I feel like it should recognize her.
Well, I think that Claire has never been to, like, majestic dragon rising falls. And she's never been to the Great Furret Valley. So Claire just doesn't get around very much.
Okay, you know what? Can I change my LVP then to Claire? I'm going to change it to Claire. Because obviously she's a fucking slacker. And she's not doing her duties as a gym leader or the stewardess of the Dragon Holy Land.
Right, she can swing from tree to tree, but she can't swing on over to the Holy Land.
Like, I thought her whole purpose as, like, the gym leader was also to be, like, the guardian of the Dragon Holy Land. And, like, this sacred duty is, like, passed down through the generations in this, like, royal dragon family or whatever. So she's clearly inept, and she doesn't know shit about shit, and deserves all of the fallout that comes from that. Because if she had just taken 5 seconds to go acquaint herself with the lonely, sad Dragonite who was abandoned in death by her trainer, maybe we wouldn't be here. And my quote, which do I even have? Oh my God, Austin, I don't think I have a single quote. I do not have a single quote.
Let me see. Here, I'll give you
one. Oh, I have one.
Oh, great, great.
It's a bad one. I'm sorry, guys. This is a weak. I am interested to see which one you're going to give me, though. They're going into the cave. They're in their little motorboat, and they're motoring down the cave. And Meowth says, before anything can happen, we gotta get out of this cave. And James says, oh, I forgot to grab a visitor's guidebook on the way in.
I didn't hear that line at all. I didn't miss it entirely.
He kind of says it in a more sarcastic way. So sure. He's kind of like, well, sorry, I forgot to grab the guidebook on the way in, but...
All right, my turn.
Well, what was the quote you were going to give me?
I'm going to use it right now. My quote that I'm not going to give you is Jesse and Meowth, as they seal the dragon fang, say, so sayonara, and fangs a lot. Which is funny because it's the same pun as this episode title, Fangs for Nothing.
It's also the same pun we get with My Immortal a bunch of times.
Fangs, get it? Because I'm gothic. So, my MVP is going to be Ebony Darkness Adventure Raven Way.
Well deserved.
So, my LVP, you give it to Claire. I'll give it to Brock for his bullshit we were talking about earlier.
Shit, he deserves it too. Thank you, God.
Brock needs to make up his goddamn mind with some things. And that's it.
Brock is a dweeb. Also, I think we need to give honorary LVP to, like, the gym system in general. And the fact that Misty and Brock are not ejected for, like, giving Ash, like, battle tips in real time. Like, how can he be allowed to have, basically, other trainers, like, doing the work for him? Making strategy right there.
Oh, we need to pay attention. We need to mark when this stops happening.
I hope it stops soon because it's annoying. And doesn't Brock say some stupid line at the beginning, like, oh yeah, Ash has got this. He didn't get those other 7 badges for nothing. And I'm like, I can remember several times where he just sort of like got the badge for nothing.
Really? Because it's all gone. I can't remember anything. It's gone.
Icy Price just gave him the badge.
I forgot about Icy Price. Oh, I forgot about that whole thing.
How did you forget about Icy Price, Austin?
I forgot that Icy Price gave him a badge because he was done with him.
Literally in that battle, Icy Price was winning. And then all of a sudden, Icy Price calls the battle because, like we discussed, we thought that he was going to chastise Ash for pushing his Pokemon too hard or whatever. But instead, he calls the battle for him and saying, you know what? No, Piloswine's had enough. And I'm like, oh my God, Piloswine was like dominating this battle. You could have easily won. But no, he just stops it and he was like, here's the badge. Thank you for teaching me about like friendship and shit. Goddamn.
All right.
Are we done?
I think we're done. We've talked for a long time.
We talked for a long time. And it only feels that way because we had way more extra stuff to cover.
Well, we also have like a bonus section after the episode. If you would like to hear about our thoughts on the U.S. election and the fall of society, stay tuned.
All right. So what is on the menu for next week, Austin?
Next week? Is Charizard here? I don't know. But the next episode is called Great Bowls of Fire. And I think I know what's going to happen in the episode after that, because it's called Better 8 Than Never.
Like the number 8.
Yes.
Well, I guess we will find out what the great mystery is next week, so stay tuned, because it'll be exciting. You'll want to see the culmination of the Blackthorn arc.
No, you're not. It keeps on going after that, by the way.
Oh, okay. Well, that was a surprise, so yeah.
The end is not in sight.
But you want to join us anyway, because it's just big ball of fun here and out of the drying pan.
Great balls of fire.
Big balls of fun.
Big balls of handy Andy.
Oh, thanks for everybody for joining us this week. We know we had a lot to talk about, and we're so glad that you spent some time with us today. Like we said earlier, if you want to get in touch, our lines of communication are always open. We welcome it. As always, of course, you can get in touch with us on our Gmail. That's our main email contact at outofthedryingpan@gmail.com. Again, outofthedryingpan@gmail.com. Moving forward, we want to say we will no longer be utilizing X/Twitter. We are completely transitioning off of that platform, and we will now be using Blue Sky. So please, please, please join us over there. Austin posts some really awesome stuff all the time. I would highly encourage you guys to go check it out. We're switching over to that platform, and I believe, Austin, the handle is Out of the Drying Pan?
Right. I also started a Mastodon, but I don't think that one seems to be too popular, so that probably won't last very long.
Mastodon?
Yeah.
The heavy metal band? What the hell?
The fact that you've never heard of it says it all, doesn't it?
I have never heard of that, but I would always encourage you guys, if that is your platform of choice, to check us out over there. What's our handle there, Austin?
Out of the Drying Pan.
Out of the Drying Pan. Okay, so, yeah, big announcement. Follow us over on Blue Sky. We will be no longer posting anything on X or Twitter. Also, we have an Instagram, so you can always get in touch over there at Out of the Drying Pan. And we have a Patreon. If you like what we do, if you'd like to support the podcast, we would appreciate it. You can find the link to the Patreon in our description. We have all kinds of fun stuff, bonus content, notes, other fun things, different tiers. Check it out. We would greatly appreciate it. And of course, we would like to say once again, thank you guys so much for listening. And we just want to say we will all get through this together. And we hope you keep listening as the journey continues. Thank you. right. This is our official soapbox. Then we're going to rant. I think we have a lot to say. We wanted to keep this separate from the actual podcast, so we didn't bring down the vibes. But I think our last podcast, we talked about, you know, fingers crossed, wish us luck coming into the upcoming week of the United States election.
In the last episode, I basically edited out all of our election talk. So it's basically me saying, the election's coming up. Cool. And then, like, we cut immediately to something else. It comes off in really poor taste.
I mean, if we only had a crystal ball.
Yeah.
And I feel like, of course we were going to talk about this. We've been stewing and brewing on it for over a week now.
And we will continue to stew and brew for the rest of our lives.
I don't want to sound dramatic about it, but it is, it's really horrible. And I know we're not the only people, you know, if anybody out there listening from overseas, our overseas friends, like, we understand that this impacts you because it's not just our government. I mean, there seems to be a pendulum swing in governments all over.
Yeah, that's how fascism works. Because I'm tired of not just saying the truth. I'm tired of not being open about the fact that fascism has completely taken over the American right.
Mm-hmm.
We are upset about the fact that there is going to be preventable death because of the tyrants that are taking over the American government. I think that's a fair thing to say, at the very least.
I know this sounds silly, and I honestly never, like, before when we were younger, I mean, obviously politics didn't impact our everyday lives. You know, we weren't the ones making decisions when it came to voting and whatnot. You know, you're just a kid, you don't understand. But it's like we became voting age and all this shit started to kind of crumble. And it's like, this is the first election. Like, before, it's like, okay, you know, politics, it's just another 4 years of whatever. And then that's the way it always is. The cycle continues.
I'm glad you had that reaction in 2016. I didn't.
But I think we were a little bit more naive back then. And just to say, okay, this isn't a conventional choice. And I'm not making excuses for him because he's a terrible fucking human being. But we didn't know how bad things would get.
It seemed like more of a fluke, possibly, than it clearly was not now.
Sure. This is unprecedented. I mean, this we have seen the impact he has had, his administration has had on our country, the damage that he's caused, his nominating Supreme Court justices, you know, swinging the Supreme Court into an ultra far right conservative Supreme Court. Reproductive health and rights are on the line. Women's rights are on the line. LGBTQ plus rights are on the line. Our environment, our food system, our healthcare system, our education system. I mean, literally every facet of our government is now in danger or has already suffered under his administration previously. And we didn't have that prior because we had Obama.
I mean, you can literally rape, you can literally pillage and try to overthrow the U.S. Yes. government, and the American people will still elect you to be the president of the United States. With all the sycophants along with you, who you already alienated the first go around, and so now we have, like, an even worse bunch.
How many people in his own cabinet, his own administration, Secretary of State, Attorney General, like, all those people denouncing him, his own vice president, for God's sake.
Who his supporters constructed a hanging gallows to kill. On national television.
Yes. If we had forgotten about that, we're here to remind you because that did happen. That was real life. All these people have come out and denounced him and Bill Barr, Michael Cohen, like all these fucking people. And we've seen the antics. We've seen the depravity. He's a fucking convicted felon. I don't know. I feel like that should count for something when you're trying to run for the highest office in this country. Like, he's not faced any penalty. Like, it's just a complete miscarriage of justice. It's horrible. This week alone, I have seen so many articles coming up saying how disastrous this is going to be. This one I was looking at just before we jumped on here to talk. I mean, this is just one of many. First of all, you have Captain Brainworm, who's propping himself up to be in charge of, like, the FDA. I hope we all enjoy our Salmonella, Listeria, and parasites when we all die.
Brainworms for everyone.
Brainworms for everyone. I guess that's what they mean when they say socialism, right? Here's an article from CNBC that says, hashtag end the Fed. Elon Musk endorses plan to let presidents meddle with the Federal Reserve. So I hope you're ready for the whole economy to fucking crash and your 401k to obliterate. And, oh yeah, forgot about Medicare, Medicaid, and Social Security. Those are all going away.
This is why I'm making impulse purchases now, because it's only going to go up.
And maybe you're out there thinking, like, oh, you guys are just being, like, hyperbolic. You're being doomsayers or whatever. Well, we'll fucking see. I feel like I've gone through all the stages of grief. I cried after the results came in because I absolutely could not believe how sweeping of a victory it was. It wasn't even like he won the presidency. It's literally all other facets of our government, which absolutely seems fucking insane to me. I mean, I feel like we've been very clear on our politics in this podcast.
I actually think we haven't.
Have we not? I feel like we've been pretty forthright. I mean, I don't know. It's just been more and more bleak every day with every single article that I read about, you know, Ukraine and, you know, foreign policy. And NATO and just like everything that's going to just implode now that Trump is in. And his cronies, like you said, have made it very clear where they stand on these issues. And I don't understand how the fuck some of these people are even influencing foreign policy. Like, you got Elon Musk sitting there on a call with Zelensky. I'm like, he shouldn't even be anywhere near that fucking phone call. I feel like we're all taking crazy pills.
We started recording out of the drying pan and basically more or less, even though we didn't realize at the time, started recording a weekly journal of where we are mentally at the time, midway through 2021.
Sure.
That was a post-Trump world. It was a pandemic world, but a post-Trump world. We did not ever take an archive actively of our thoughts and feelings during 2017 through 2020. But now, here we are. We're going to be seeing how this impacts us in real time. To however much extent we want to share. I'm thinking the tone of the podcast is going to change. Because the tone of our lives is going to change. And it's going to be impossible to deny.
Well, I mean, of course, your feelings and the everyday things that you go through are going to inform what you talk about. And how our general outlook is. And I feel like even bracing for it, knowing... There's no way we can prepare for whatever's coming. I don't know what to even say. Because I'm sure there's plenty of people out there that are going to hand wave it and say, you're being... absolutely insane. It's not going to be half as bad as you think.
It's going to be worse than we think.
You snowflake liberals, you know, whatever. You're just big crybabies. I feel like all of our thoughts and feelings are completely valid. Like, I don't understand how you can look at the state of the world and what happened before in his presidency and not see.
You're in a different world.
Yeah, if you're like the rich white 1%.
Not only them.
Well, I think this time more than ever, the people that seem to think that like, oh, it's not me.
If you are a MAGA voter, you have blood on your hands, period. Done. Okay, well, I'm not even going to get into it.
My thoughts and feelings on it are, and look, I'm not an expert. I'm just a regular person who lives my life just like all the other millions and millions of people in this country and billions in this world. Like, I'm not an expert. I don't know. I'm not a political commentator. I'm not an economist. I'm not anything, okay? I'm just a person. But I don't understand how, especially in our generation, I get it. There's a lot of issues, social, economic, political, humanitarian, whatever issues, you know, you want to make a stance, you want to have a voice, you want to protest, whatever it is, and that's your right. But it absolutely boggles my mind. Apparently there's been articles, and I've seen rhetoric around this, I've watched the news, I've listened to NPR, you know, just different things, and a lot of it they're saying, and I don't know how true this is, but it's like a lot of younger people sat it out because of the unrest and dislike of what's happening as far as like what's going on with Israel and Palestine. I don't understand how you can say, okay, well, I don't want to vote for Kamala because I want to punish her or whatever, or, you know, whatever it is, some protest vote or something. I'm like, Trump has been very clear on his issue or on his stance about that. I don't understand how you can look at both of those people, Trump and Kamala, and be like, you know what, Trump is better for this. And so I'm going to sit out and not vote for Kamala because I want to, you know, have a protest vote and not vote.
I'm just looking right now. I don't believe we said anything when Roe v. Wade was overturned in 2022.
We didn't, because we try to keep it high level. We try light. Not to go too far. We know that we, or at least we hope, that this podcast is an escape from reality and a light spot of your day. And we don't want to talk about the real things that you're trying to get away from. But you're right when you said that, because this is impacting our everyday mood, outlook, lives. Like, this isn't a joke. It's not funny. I cried because when I thought about what you said earlier about how people are going to die, I literally wept because I was like, there are so many innocent people out there that are going to die because of this decision. And that breaks my heart. I don't even know what to say beyond that.
Well, on that cheery note,
I found this really interesting article. If we all needed a reminder, and then I'm going to stop talking and we can get into Pokemon because that's what we're all here for. Well, I know you're listening to this on the back end, but whatever. Okay, so if you're not familiar with Robert Reich... He is a professor, an author, a lawyer, a political commentator. He was a former U.S. Secretary of Labor. He worked in Gerald Ford and Jimmy Carter's administrations, and he was in Bill Clinton's cabinet. He was also a member of Barack Obama's Economic Transition Advisory Board. So this is who Robert Reich is. And obviously, he's a very outspoken opponent of Donald Trump. I watch his stuff every now and then because he had some really good videos and commentary in the years and weeks and months leading up to where we are now. And I came across this Tumblr post on his Tumblr.
Oh, wow. Whoa. What year is it?
I know. This is, I don't know. How do I see like when he posted this?
I have no idea. Tumblr's a mess.
Tumblr is a mess. And I'm not sure how you see when it was posted. I don't know. There's no date on here. But it's a video. I didn't watch the video, but I read the blog post titled The 10 Worst Things About the Trump Presidency. So this is obviously post-Trump. Maybe he posted this probably sometime in the last few weeks or at least in the last year or so. And here goes. I just wanted to go over some of the highlights because I think we all need a fucking rude awakening and reminder of how horrible Trump is.
Is this 10 news items?
It's 10 things of how horrible he is, but just okay, wait.
Great.
There's a twist. I'm going to try to go through this pretty quick. Okay, Donald Trump left office with the lowest approval rating of any president ever, but some people now seem to be suffering from amnesia. Let me jog your memory. Here are the 10 worst things about the Trump presidency in no particular order. 1. He fueled division and sparked a record uptick in hate crimes. 2. Murder went way up under Trump. He presided over the largest ever single year increase of homicides in 2020. Gun sales broke records under Trump, who has bragged about how he did nothing to restrict guns as president in spite of, under Trump, Americans suffered more than 1,700 mass shootings. He said there were very fine people among the neo-Nazis in Charlottesville. He allied himself with the Proud Boys, a violent hate group who helped orchestrate the January 6th Capitol attack. He got rid of Roe v. Wade, and that's because his judicial appointments that 1 in 3 American women of childbearing age now lives in states with abortion bans. One of Trump's Supreme Court justices that he appointed was Brett Kavanaugh, who is a man accused of sexual assault by multiple women. His White House interfered in the FBI's investigation of Brett Kavanaugh's alleged sexual assault. And Trump has been convicted of committing 34 felonies while in office. I'm sorry, did I say the 10 worst things? I mean 15. His failed pandemic response, estimated to have led to hundreds of thousands of needless deaths. His White House discarded the pandemic response playbook left by Obama's administration. He disbanded the National Security Council's pandemic response team. He promoted fake COVID cures like hydroxychloroquine and injecting people with disinfectant.
How did I forget about that one? Okay.
After those remarks, poison control centers across the country received a spike in emergency calls. That's 15. Should I keep going? Here's the 20 worst things. He presided over a net loss of 2.9 million American jobs, the worst recorded jobs numbers in any U.S. president in history. He profited off the presidency, making an estimated $160 million from foreign countries while he was president, which, reminder, the Emoluments Clause forbids that. He billed the Secret Service over $1 million for the privilege of staying at his golf clubs. That's our money, taxpayer money. He caused the longest government shutdown in U.S. history when he didn't get funding for his border wall. Mexico still has not paid for that, by the way. The national debt increased under about 40%, more than any other four-year presidential term, because of his tax cuts for the rich and big corporations. We're going to 25. Trump separated more than 5,000 children from their parents at the border with no plan to ever reunite them and put babies in cages. The Muslim ban. Yes, Trump really did try to ban Muslims from entering the country. He sparked international outrage by moving the American embassy in Israel to Jerusalem while closing the U.S. mission to Palestine. He tasked his son-in-law, Jared Kushner, with drafting a potential Middle East peace plan with zero Palestinian input. He recognized Israel's occupation of the Golan Heights, which is considered illegal under international law. There you have it, the 25 worst. Oh, wait, I've got to do impeachments. Let's go to 30.
Should we make this a whole special episode? And
yes,
not
we should. I'm going to keep going. I'm going to keep going.
Okay, what's the highest? What's the number?
75.
Okay, we got to stop.
I'll just do 30, and then I'll just invite everybody to go and look. 26, he broke the law by trying to withhold nearly $400 million of U.S. aid for Ukraine in an effort to extort a personal political favor from President Zelensky. He wanted Zelensky to interfere in the 2020 election by announcing an investigation into the Bidens. Delaying this aid to Ukraine weakened Ukraine and strengthened Russia. He personally attacked and ruined the careers of everyone who stood in the way of his illegal Ukraine scheme, including Ambassador Marie Yovanovitch and Lieutenant Colonel Alexander Vindman. To cover up the scheme, he ordered the White House and State Department to defy congressional subpoenas. For these reasons, on December 18, 2019, he became the third U.S. president to be impeached. He was charged with abuse of power and obstruction of Congress. Even while he was being investigated for trying to get Ukraine to interfere in the U.S. election, Trump publicly called for China to interfere in the election. And it keeps fucking going all the way to 75. So.
Is Toad from Mario on there?
Toad from Mario. Oh. We don't talk about Stormy Daniels. Oh, and just for a fun reminder, just to round it all out, he seriously discussed the idea of nuking a hurricane. So, just in case you forgot
that. Oh my God, do you remember when he took the Sharpie and drew it over Alabama, I believe it was, because yep. he made a false statement about its forecast?
He wanted NOAA or something to, like, go back and say false things about when where the hurricane was going to land, and they were like, no, we're not doing that.
My God, I can't. Even aside from, like, the actual horrible consequences, we have to deal with that kind of shit every fucking day now. Here we go.
There's so much more. I mean, obviously that was 30 of 75. I mean, there's so much more, and the list keeps growing, and now we have fuckers like Elon Musk at the wheel and RFK. They weren't players last time, to my knowledge. So now we have that on top of everything else.
Well, I think to close this out, I have one final statement to make.
I just want to cry.
I'm just going to be blunt.
There's no other way to be.
I understand all of us who have a conscience are grieving at this time. Basically, I'm just going to say it. You can't kill yourself. Don't do it.
As much as things seem bleak, worth it. Don't let him have that kind of final power over you. We have to persevere. And I'm glad you brought that up, Austin, because I know it seems so dismal and it seems so futile. But now more than ever, and I know this is going to sound cheesy, but it's like now more than ever, we have to stand together and support each other.
Ugh, the fucking left.
I hope that anybody out there listening who's feeling as defeated and sad as we are, I mean, because there's really no other way to put it, we still want to bring joy where we can bring it. And if that's, you know, through things like talking about funny stuff like Pokemon or video games or anime or whatever other stuff, we hope we can do that for you.
We're glad to engage in a conversation. We would love to talk if you would like to discuss anything with us.
Absolutely. We're always, our lines of communication are always open. You have friends here on Out of the Drying Pan. We are here to support anybody out there. Reach out to us. We are always willing to talk. Obviously, if you're listening to this and you're still listening to this, you're of a like mind. And we want you guys to know we're here to support you. So don't feel like all is lost. We all have to keep going. Just know that that's where we stand. Now, on to Pokemon.
As the journey continues.
As the journey does fucking continue.